readers, the more they will understand and express themselves effectively. And of course, you know that reading and having access to books and being engaged with books is directly correlated to academic achievement. And research has shown that.
This is Parent Them Successful with author and licensed educational psychologist, Jessica Shields. Your child no longer has to struggle. On this parenting podcast, we unravel the complexities of the education system, give insight into intervention services, and offer encouragement and tools alongside your parenting journey. It's time for your child to thrive. Welcome your host, LEP educator and mom of four, Jessica Shields.
Hello, parent warrior, and welcome to the Parent Them Successful podcast. I'm just so glad that you are tuning in, because today we are going to be talking about your struggling reader. Now, every year I look at referrals for special education testing that come across my desk, and the number one reason for referral that I see in my practice is for children who are reading well below grade level. The number two type of referral is for the autism eligibility. And this is what I see working in schools. Now, it is quite clear that poor reading skills are a major, major concern for many, not just for teachers, but for parents too. And so I want you to just kind of think about this for a moment. Think about how you felt when you attended that parent-teacher conference where you were told your child is far behind in reading. Maybe there were discussions about possible memory issues, not knowing letter sounds, not being able to sound out CVC words, and so on. If this has been your story, I am going to be sharing some very important steps you need to take before you even consider special education testing. Why? Because sometimes a reading problem can be corrected with interventions, and other times there truly is a handicapping condition. So be sure to stick around for some important information, and I want you to consider everything that I share, and also stick around for this week's parenting challenge and your loving reminder, because you definitely don't want to miss it. And of course, we're going to learn and grow together. So make sure you're listening in. But first, I want to talk about the many reasons why your child may be having a reading problem. And here are the top five reasons. Again, the top five reasons your child may be struggling with reading. It could be, number one, a true learning disability. This encompasses dyslexia, which of course affects reading and language processing, and it definitely can make it challenging for children to grasp those reading skills despite having an average intelligence, and even with adequate instruction. So you have a great teacher, you've had all the interventions, and nothing is working, and you wonder why, and it could truly be dyslexia. It could also be a generalized learning disability as well. So I just want you to be encouraged, because we're going to talk more about that. So let's just put a pin in this for now, because I want to go into more detail about special education testing for reading disabilities. Number two is having lack of phonemic awareness. There are so many reasons why your child may not be picking up on those phonemes. Phonemic awareness is truly described as their ability to hear, identify, and even manipulate individual sounds in spoken language. It is very critical for reading. So children who struggle with phonemic awareness real often find it difficult to decode or break down words and develop fluency when they read. Number three, it could be environmental factors. Now, environmental factors such as lack of access to books at home, maybe limited exposure to literacy-rich environments or stressful home environments can definitely have a negative impact in their reading development. And I learned this a while ago when I was going through my school psychology program that simply the mere presence of books in the home has been consistently linked to higher reading achievement and literacy skills among children. And there are actually several studies that have shown a strong correlation between the number of books in a child's home and their reading ability. And there's consistent evidence of this fact. So just having books in your home means that you're going to be doing certain things with those books because you are now modeling, you are reading, you are typically a reader yourself. So you're sharing that love of reading with your child. And I am going to go in a little bit more detail with this as well in a few moments, but I just want to say with consistent support and encouragement from parents, this is going to be essential in fostering a positive attitude towards reading. And again, I'll break that down a little bit more. Number four is limited vocabulary. So children with limited vocabulary may struggle with comprehension. So if you think about it, reading does rely heavily on understanding the meaning of words. That's where the comprehension comes into play. Now, if a child has lack of exposure to a rich vocabulary through reading and language-rich environments, we often will see that reading development is hindered. So it is so important for you to talk with your child, to try out new words. And of course, the more that they're reading, the more vocabulary they're developing. And while I was an English teacher in the classroom, I used to always tell parents, hey, reading doesn't always have to be fiction books. It can be nonfiction materials. It could be instructions, directions. It can be how to put together something that they truly love. It could be crafting instructions. All of that counts as vocabulary building. So I don't want you to feel that it's limited to just fictional storybooks. Number five, poor reading instruction. Now, this can happen as well. Inadequate or even ineffective reading instruction can definitely contribute to reading difficulties. And teachers and educational programs that don't address a child's individual learning needs or even provide a sufficient amount of practice or even using methods that are outdated will definitely impede their progress. So keep that in mind as you are working with your child. And just know it's important to understand that any of these factors can overlap, and you really have to think about your individual child situation. But when you're identifying specific challenges that your child is facing and providing that targeted support that's tailored to their needs, this is what's crucial for overcoming those reading difficulties. So I just want you to know that you can absolutely improve your child's chances of becoming better readers. And just remember when I had mentioned before about that study or those studies about the mere presence of books in the home that will improve the likelihood of your child being a better reader. Well, I want to dig a little bit deeper here, and I want to share some key insights regarding this correlation because I think it's so important. I even keep a library of books at my house so that it encourages a kid, especially if they're bored, they will pick up a book and they'll just start flipping through it, reading it, and they'll be interested. So here are just some key points regarding that correlation, because again, I feel it's so important. So number one, access to books. I have seen many children not have access to books, and I can see how it impacts their education compared to those children who do have a lot of books and access to books. So having books readily available in your home provides your child with easy access to reading materials. This often encourages reading for pleasure and fosters a habit of reading. This access does allow your child to engage with text at their own pace and explore a variety of topics and genres, and it's so exciting. And there's no pressure that comes along with that. And if you think about going to the library, there's another access point. But having those books come home gives your child access to books in the home, because it's important to have those books at home with them. The second part of this correlation is exposure to print. Now, the presence of books in the home exposes children to print at a very early age, and it helps them become familiar with letters and words and the structure of the beautiful written language. So this exposure can lay that foundation for literacy development, and it can enhance their reading readiness just by allowing them to play and touch and feel the books. Just that mere exposure increases the ability to engage in reading more. Now, this next one is where I find that adults may struggle a little bit themselves. It's the modeling behavior. So remember that study again, the access or having books in the home. Well, there's another part to that, modeling the behavior. So when parents or other caregivers demonstrate a love for reading by having books in the home and engaging in reading themselves, they are serving as a positive role model for children. Yes, you are the positive role model for reading. So when they see you read, they're more likely to emulate this behavior and develop a positive attitude towards reading when they see you doing it too. If they see you valuing and enjoying books, then they will too. So take time to be a model. I know it's busy and it can be busy, but be intentional with that. It will definitely help your child develop that love for reading and learning. The next part is just language development. It can help with this area as well. So reading books together with your children provides those opportunities for language rich interactions, vocabulary development, and comprehension skills. You can talk about the pictures. You can have a conversation about what the characters are experiencing and relating that back to real life. So the more children are exposed to language reading and storytelling, the better they are equipped to become readers, the more they will understand and express themselves effectively. And of course, you know that reading and having access to books and being engaged with books is directly correlated to academic achievement. And research has shown that just, again, the presence of books in the home is associated with higher academic achievement across various subjects, including reading, writing, and math. And children who grow up in book-rich environments tend to perform better on standardized tests and have a greater educational attainment because they are reading. Now, let's just say you have done all of these components and put these things in place, right? And your child is still a struggling reader. Then your first order of business should be, and it's very easy, to get your child's vision screened. That would be my first order of business if I have done all of these things and I'm concerned about my child learning to read. Why? Because undetected poor vision can significantly impact a child's ability to read in several ways. And it's something that people don't often think about, but it's something that's so easy to correct. And I've seen where kids were not reading and we figured out, okay, they failed the vision screening, got them some glasses, did the intervention again, and they started to read. And I just want to spend some time here because I think it's so important to understand that vision and reading are so strongly connected. So first of all, let's talk about difficulty seeing text clearly. Children with undetected poor vision may struggle to see letters and words or entire lines of text clearly, and this can result in difficulties with decoding words, tracking lines of text, and even maintaining focus while reading. So they may appear or seem to be have inattention issues when it might not be that. It might be that they cannot focus on what's on the page because it's difficult to see. Eye strain and fatigue. So that's the next part of this. Straining to see text due to poor vision can definitely lead to eye fatigue. It can lead to headaches. It can lead to discomfort while reading. And so children may become frustrated or just avoid reading altogether because it is physically uncomfortable. Now, there's another part of this that we don't think about, and it's misinterpretation of text. So if a child is struggling with their vision, everything might be blurred or distorted, and it can cause children to misinterpret letters, words, and punctuation marks. This will lead to errors in reading comprehension. So if they're misinterpreting letters, they're not going to be learning those letters right away. They're not going to be able to associate sounds with certain letters because of the misinterpretation of text. They may skip words. They may substitute similar looking words or misunderstand the meaning of the text. Also, it impacts their rate of reading. So they may have a slow reading rate, and children with undetected poor vision may read at a slower pace than their peers. They may take extra time to decipher and process the text, and this definitely can affect their ability to keep up with the classroom reading assignments, and it may impact, of course, their academic performance. And of course, it has a negative impact on learning. So reading difficulties that result from undetected poor vision can have overall negative impacts on academics. If they're struggling with reading, this can definitely undermine their confidence, their motivation, and self-esteem, and it can lead to reluctance to participate in literacy-related activities. So a teacher might believe that, oh, we've done all these interventions, the child is still not getting it. We think your child needs special education. But I would say first, screen the vision. Also, definitely, I would add, screen the hearing to make sure they're hearing those sounds properly. Now, guess what? If your child failed the school's vision screening, and you have requested testing, or you're going through the testing for special education process, just know that they cannot be labeled as having a specific learning disability. This is federal guidelines through IDEA. And vision is an exclusionary factor that must be ruled out because of the negative effects it has on learning to read. Being able to see in the classroom and the classroom environment, the materials, is very important, just as much as attendance. So a child must be fully present in order to learn. And by the way, attendance is also an exclusionary factor in determining whether or not a child has a specific learning disability. You can look it up under specific learning disability education code. It has to be ruled out as a cause for that child being extremely below grade level. So it can't be due to a poor attendance. That's not a handicapping condition. It can't be because they need glasses. That doesn't make a child handicapped. It makes them a child who needs glasses. Now, if your child has been well instructed, has 20/20 vision, or at least consistently wears their glasses, and has been in a stellar intervention program, which should be provided by the school, or you may have paid for one, then you truly and likely are looking at a child with a reading disability if they're still a poor reader and all these things have been ruled out. So the school at this time should be pointing you to, or at least recommending testing. Of course, you have the right to request testing in writing. And if your child is in a special education program already and they are still behind in reading, then work with the IEP team to see what else can be done. Now, I want to say for those of us who know the special education world well, we know that it is not a magic pill that will fix all of our children's problems. It's simply there to support their needs so they can access their curriculum and make progress in their education. So what parents do for children is truly, truly, ultimately the best intervention there is. And I say keep advocating and keep encouraging and supporting your struggling reader. And that is what it's going to take to see growth. It is you, what you do for your child to support them. So by now, I truly hope that you are thinking about where your child stands with the progress that they're making in school. And with that, I definitely want to challenge you. Just identify one actionable step you would like to take to better support your child's efforts in their education. And as a loving reminder, hey, don't be afraid to ask teachers the tough questions in order to get your child's needs met. Well, I surely hope this episode has blessed you. And if it has, simply hit that follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss any new episodes. And as you're thinking about that friend who definitely needs to hear this, or that cousin or that sister or brother, whoever it may be, share the link, parentthemsuccessful.com, because it can impact someone else's parenting journey. If you are the type of parent who is serious about better supporting your child's growth and development, join my email list at strongermindsstrongeryouth.com/join the list. And the link would be in the show notes. Hey, I really do appreciate you. And I thank you so much for listening. So until next time, be blessed and love on your children.
Thank you for listening to the Parent Them Successful with licensed educational psychologist, Jessica Shields. We're so glad you've joined us and would love to connect with you outside of the show. To find more information about our services, the Empower House Academy, or to take our quiz, What's Your Parenting Style? Go to StrongerMindStrongerYouth.com. Feel free to email us directly at info@StrongerMindStrongerYouth.com. We'd love to hear from you. Other ways to stay connected are on Instagram and Facebook by searching Stronger Mind, Stronger Youth, and on Twitter at @official_SMSY. Until next time, be well and love your children, for they are a gift from the Lord.